Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy. Good morning. It is June 23rd, 2022. It is Thursday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Glam Witch. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "I learned compassion from being discriminated against. Everything bad that's ever happened to me has taught me compassion," by Ellen DeGeneres, which may, this quote may have not aged the best, but there was a wonderful video, I'm trying to remember where, on YouTube, about Ellen's process. And if you're too young to know, like, about how Ellen came out and her show and what it cost her for a very long time. And not even just her, but, like, I was telling someone recently, Laura Dern, who was in the episode of Ellen, where Ellen came out because she used to have a sitcom, Laura Dern didn't work for a long time because she was in the episode. Oprah had Ellen on, or I think Oprah had, like, defended Ellen, something like this. And this is decades ago. And Oprah was getting, like, death threats. So if you don't know the story, I mean, we all may have different feelings about Ellen right this very second, but if you don't know the story of what Ellen went through with her show and her work and coming out, it is an incredible story. I will see if I can find a nice video essay on it, and I'll post it on the Facebook. It's just a really great, example to see how far we've come in terms of even just allowing people to work who are openly LGBTQ+, and it's just super cool. So I'm going to share it. Are like, no, I know all about this, but you like video essays like me, you'll enjoy it. So I'll share that. All right, witches, what are we drinking today? We are drinking the new Dark Fae from Sip a Spell Tea. So sipaspell.com. So after drinking a cup of this Trickster Mate blend, you'll feel ready to join the Fae Army and take on your day. Traditional yerba mate elegantly balances the spirit of chai spices with the tropical fruit undertones, culminating with a graceful mosaic of flavors. Not for the faint of heart, this is one herbal blend that will give you the fae energy you need to get through even the toughest of days. What does this tea have? It has yerba mate, green rooibos, cinnamon, ginger, cardamom, orange, lemongrass, anise seed, mango pieces, pineapple pieces. What else? Almond flavor, cinnamon, and papaya flavor. So we're going to talk about one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. And when I say the whole wide world, I mean it. I love lemongrass. We're going to talk about lemongrass. Lemongrass is not only one of just my favorite smells, like fragrances. My good friend Tyler makes this green Thai curry. Oh, there's lemongrass in it. Amazing. Lemongrass can do no wrong, in my personal opinion. So let's talk about it. This comes to us from sage.com, but sage with a J, S-A-G-E.com. The benefits and uses of lemongrass. So for thousands of years, fresh and invigorating lemongrass has flavored soups, curries, teas, and has featured in herbal preparations in many of Asia and Africa. Even though large-scale production only started in the late 1940s, today lemongrass is one of the world's essential oils. Its strong, lemony aroma is a beneficial component of blends designed to freshen the air, clear the body and mind, and support a sunny disposition. So lemongrass is, not surprisingly, a member of the grass family. It is a perennial plant that grows in dense clumps of stiff, upright stems. Lemongrass grows in bulbs, but it doesn't tend to spread as much as some can. Lemongrass is native to Sri Lanka and South India and is cultivated in the tropical parts of America and Asia. So lemongrass requires bright sunlight for most of the day, as well as damp soil and excellent drainage. So lemongrass is heavily used in many Asian cuisines, particularly Thai food. It is delicious and can be used in soups and curries. And when shopping for lemongrass, look for heavy stalks. So lighter stalks means it may be too dried out. Lemongrass can be added whole into soups or curries, but be sure to remove it before serving, as the tough stalk is inedible. So think of it like you think of like bay leaves, where you put it in there for cooking, but you gotta fish that stuff out. Pound the stalks with a pestle and blend a few times to bruise them, and it will release the delicious lemony flavor. If you prefer, the few tender centimeters of the bottom of the stalk can be finely chopped or pounded into a paste. Lemongrass can also be brewed into a delicious tea. Steep fresh or dried lemongrass in boiling water. Let sit for a few minutes and enjoy it hot or iced. The bright, refreshing, stomach-soothing drink is called Te de Limón and is popular in Latin America as well as other parts of the world. So, yay for lemongrass. Now, it's for essential oil in terms of like aromatherapy. Lemongrass essential oil is actually used in some in India in some museums to help preserve ancient palm leaf manuscripts and to protect them from insects. So if you make your own insect repellent, lemongrass could be a really great way to do that. And then of course, lemongrass, which we already mentioned in terms of aromatherapy, can help brighten the mood, clear the air. It gives a very fresh, clean scent and help with a sunny disposition. All right, witches, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from bbc.co.uk. World record attempt for biggest gathering of vampire. It's in the middle of the day. They have a photo. It is a bright, sunny morning when they are trying. Maybe it wouldn't be an attempt. I'm gonna do my snooty voice. Maybe it wouldn't be an attempt, but a success if it was at nighttime. Okay, world record attempt for biggest gathering of vampires. Have you ever seen so many vampires? Well, the world record for the largest gathering of people dressed as vampires has been broken, with 1,369 people coming together at the Whitby Abbey, North Yorkshire, for an event. This broke the previous record of 1,039 set in 2011 in Virginia. The event was organized to mark 125 years since the book Dracula was published, which is all about Count Dracula the vampire. Oh, I wonder if his son or his nephew is there. I think he said he was going to this because we met him. Oh, so they did break it. Well, then why are you calling it an attempt? Call it a success. But I do think Bram Stoker's nephew is there, because he was totally talking about going there recently when we were at an event with him. Super cool. Super cool. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, June 23rd. The waning crescent moon moves from overheated Aries to cool as a cucumber Taurus by noon today. Here, the moon squares Pluto. The square to Pluto puts us at a crossroads with our shadow selves. Every time we make a move, we see our shadow out of the corner of our eye, making moves too. This can become very distracting and may make us fearful of continuing to make our way forward. We can't let these fears get in the way of our progress. These shadows aren't trying to inhibit us. They are trying to show us difficult truths. If we take the time to face these truths, we'll discover that they aren't blocking our way forward at all. They're lighting the path. Your daily moon mantra is, "Truth has no fear. Untruth shivers at every shadow." This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Lilith has been feared, worshipped, analyzed, and dissected by many. Yet she remains an enigma cloaked in a riddle of witchcraft. Today, she has found a place of elevation as a quintessential goddess in an array of occult practices. The Glam Witch plants the practice of modern witchcraft in Lilith's Garden of Glittery Fruit. Laid out over a sparkling assemblage of chapters, a modern mystic will explore the theory, practice, and lifestyle of the great Lilithian arcane mysteries, aka Glam. Loaded with spells and rituals to cultivate confidence, sizzle with sensuality, and stand up to adversity, the Glam Witch is a guide to spiritual empowerment and establishing unapologetic authenticity through magical means. The Glam Witch, by Michael Herkes, is now available for order at your local bookshop or wherever books are sold.
All right, witches. So we are skipping our question of the day today, and we are going straight into a journal prompt. Because we missed them. We haven't done them all week yet. So we're going to do two journal prompts and skip our question of the day. Our first journal prompt is, what is the overall theme of your magical practice? What are patterns you recycle in your spell work or craft? Now, I definitely think this is a question that you're going to want to really sit on for a while and really, really think about it. Don't come up with an answer right out of your butt like I'm about to do, because I think it'd be really fascinating and curious to really dig into that, like really dig into what are some cycles I do, what prompts me to do spell work, like what are my expectations, what are results, things like that. I think it could be really, really cool. I will say, for actual spell work, I typically only pull it out when it feels really, really desperate, when I feel like I have done all I can humanly do mundanely. I've done the work. I've done, you know what I mean? Like, I only pull out spell work when it is a dire situation. And the reason I do this, and I think I've talked about this before, and again, I'm going to just preface so I don't get, like, people mad at me. Preface, everyone's craft is different. Everyone's spirituality is different. Witchcraft is very different. Whether you are ceremonial, if you are academic, if you're more culty, if you're more new agey, like everyone's practice is different. I'm not telling you how to do your practice. I'm sharing with you and being vulnerable with you and sharing with you my practice. So I do want to set that reminder. I do think people sometimes forget that even me just doing this podcast, I am opening up a part of myself and being vulnerable. And I feel like sometimes that's not always treated with like a level of care that like would be cool if it was treated with, you know? So anyways, let me just get that out of the way. I only do spell work when I am in dire need. And my reasoning for that is sometimes I look at it as very boy who cried wolf, you know? If I feel like if I try to do spell work for every little inconvenience, I remember like a few years ago, a book came out and I did not read the book, so I'm not crapping on the book. I just remember like the vibe it gave me was very this, and it was like how to curse people who inconvenience you. And I was like, gosh, if you curse every person who like gives you a stink look at the grocery store or who says something kind of mean to you, like that's a lot of energy and power to give people. But also
What happens when you really, really, really need the work to be done? For me personally, I like to kind of store up all of my magical, energetic, currency, however that translates to. And I like to save it for when it is direly needed. And I will say, this has worked out very well for me. I've gotten every apartment I've put in for, any job I've really like put the magic energy to, I've gotten. So this works for me. But I genuinely believe it only works because I don't cry wolf, because I don't use spell work to perfectly curate every element of my life. And I'm also a believer in, and again, this is my spiritual belief. You don't have to believe this. I believe that while we do use spell work when it is, again, more of a, like a dire need or a desperate need, I do believe if we use spell work to push a wheel up a hill, so pushing for something that we're not supposed to have, or pushing for somebody we're not supposed to have, or a environment we're not supposed to have. I do feel like when we push, 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 we may get the thing begrudgingly by the universe, but it will forever feel like an effort, right? And how exhausting. How exhausting. Why not just like give the universe or whatever you look at an ounce of credit? And know that if it's like saying no to something you want over and over and over again, if you keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, and it keeps saying no, eventually it might, again, begrudgingly give you the thing. But like, what are you missing out on that was in the works? Or again, do you want to be exhausted? And I've known many friends who I would call more dabblers. I've known many friends who are kind of dabblers who have done that. And then they push, 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 push. They get the thing. And then a week later, they're like, so I'm not happy. And it's like, well, yeah, because you pushed for something you weren't supposed to have. And, anyways, that's my spiritual belief. You don't have to agree with me. I'm not saying everyone has to agree with me. Okay. We can all be cool about it. So, yeah, that's my belief. So, let's see what our other prompt is. Let's see if we have time because I went in pretty hard on that one. Ooh, this is an easy one. What is your favorite time of day, day of the week, or season? How do these times make you feel? So I really like cool, cozy, quiet time. I love quiet time. I like to grocery shop when no one else is there. I like to drive down the street when no one else is there. I like to go to the quarter when no one else is there. I think the world is its most beautiful and grounding and connected during those quiet times. Now that looks different. Quiet time looks different for everyone. For some people, that's middle of the night. You know, for me, I love early, early morning. I love early morning. I like to go to the grocery at 7 a.m. I like to drive down the street, not on a school day, on the weekend at 7 a.m. when no one else is out, and seeing the world and the city just as it is, without being shoulder to shoulder with people, is just beautiful. So, favorite time of day, morning, early morning. Favorite day of the week, Sunday. Favorite season, fall, because I think everyone likes fall. There are some summer people, and I'm not one of them. Because I grew up in the South. So, summer equals, oh my God, we're so hot. You know what I mean? Fall is just like it's starting to cool down. You were just tormented for months with the heat. It's really bad right now. I think our real feel yesterday was 110. I felt sticky and gross. I went to trivia, Buffy trivia. We had 70 questions. We got 73.5 points, and we were still in third place. So people are serious about it. They had fans, and I still got home and like peeled my clothes off. It is just gross and sticky, and it's miserable. So Sunday, because less people are running around, early morning because less people are running around. Are you getting the like pattern? And then season fall because it's just like starting to not be crazy hot. So yeah, I feel very calm, connected. I feel in tuned. I feel grounded. And I feel like I can really see the beauty of the world during those times. So that's it. All right. So before we leave, we have a card pull. Our card pull today is the bat. Oh, it's one of my favorites. My favorite's the bat from the Witch Daily Oracle. It is about shadows, the hidden, and confidence. Timing, a day or two. Yes or no, it is both. This was contributed by Suzanne Bartlett. Shadow work is the name of the game with this card. Guardians of the night, these wonderful little creatures are confident within their place of darkness. Do you know yourself? Are you aware of your flaws? Do you accept them? Own who you are and make the night yours. It's time to get comfortable within the shadow. Love reading, explore sexual fantasies. Career reading, learn what doesn't work in order to change them. Health reading, what harmful patterns need to be broken. All right, so I do want to give some shout outs before we leave today. The first one is for Rebecca. Rebecca, you magical scrumptious gazelle. Sonia, you mystical, thoughtful garden nymph. And finally, Judith, you loyal, splendid butterfly. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And yeah, before we leave, we have a note from our producer. Yes, so don't forget, Sunday, you can join our Patreon. I'll post the link like 15 minutes before we start on Patreon to participate in this weekend's live recording. Anyone on our Patreon can attend. So it is June 26th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then we'll talk afterwards, like chit chat for like 30 minutes. And so that's it. Don't forget any books, sex, headline sources, anything we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. And that's it. Or witchpod.com. So we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.